Let us bow together in prayer. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are at the end of another summer. At least most people feel that Labor Day really marks that as we move back into the regular routine again this week. College students have already headed off to their campuses, and elementary and high school students head back after this long weekend. Labor Day, which is, of course, a national legal holiday, dates all the way back to the 1800s. It's a day that celebrates and a day that pays tribute to the contribution of American workers. It was back in 1884 that the Knights of Labor held a large parade in New York City celebrating the working class. It was held on the first Monday of September, and so it has been ever since. First with just a few states participating, and then in 1894, Congress passed a law recognizing Labor Day as an official national holiday. Interestingly enough, today Labor Day is observed not only in the United States, but in Canada and in other industrial nations as well. And Labor Day has become also a day when politicians give their speeches, and we used to consider this the launching of the national political campaign, which now seems to begin earlier and earlier every year. Well, today marks the eve of Labor Day, and I thought it was only appropriate that the theme for my sermon on this day should focus on work. I'm a member of a coalition known as Long Island Jobs with Justice. It's made up of workers, of people of faith, including a number of clergy, community members, and student groups. It seeks to promote the rights of workers, including rights of immigrant workers, and is committed to seeking economic justice. The coalition here on Long Island is committed to creating a living wage, advocating for and organizing for corporate accountability in our communities, and for the past 2 years has been an advocate for affordable and accessible mass transportation. Let me just say parenthetically at this point that the bus company providing services in Nassau County raised the fare this past week by 25 cents without any hearing and giving no rationale for it. And I'm sure that Long Island Jobs with Justice will be addressing that issue this week. Well, in its email this past week, that coalition states that Labor Day 2014 is really a time for celebration. It states that our economy is finally growing again, that the stock market has set some new records, and corporate profits are up, as is the productivity of American workers. However, and the however is important, however, this Labor Day is also a time for reflection and recognition of some other notable figures. The wealthiest 1% of Americans now possess 40% of the nation's wealth, and the bottom 80% own only 7%. Many workers are still struggling to make ends meet, and many of these workers really remain in the shadows. Wages have become stagnant, and low-wage worker incomes are actually shrinking. Let me speak to Labor Day as a Presbyterian. With our history in the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, the Presbyterian Church holds that God's people are called for service as well as salvation. And we are called to transform society by seeking justice and living in obedience to God's word. Through the prism of the Reformed tradition and through the writings of John Calvin, Presbyterians view work as a godly endeavor. And these two values meet in the quest for justice for working people and are well established in the Presbyterian tradition. John Calvin changed the understanding of labor. Before Calvin, labor was understood as a necessary evil to provide food and clothing and shelter. But Calvin understood labor as a real means to glorify God. He looked at labor as a calling from God by which people could really build the better community, free of sin and free of injustice. And so for Calvin, work was really a divine activity. Thus, all work should be grounded in justice, safe working conditions, a living wage with fair relations between the employed and the employer. The only goal in work was really to honor God and to improve the community's life. And our Presbyterian denomination, Presbyterian Church USA, has a long history of supporting economic justice based on the scriptures and the confessions. Let me quote from the Confession of 1967. A church that is indifferent to poverty or evades responsibility in economic affairs makes a mockery of reconciliation and offers no acceptable worship to God. Our denomination has had a very rich history in addressing the needs of the worker. Way back in the 1800s, urban congregations founded and supported neighborhood houses to minister to the needs of rural and immigrant people moving into the industrial urban centers for employment. It was back in 1903 that the Reverend Charles Silts was appointed the director of the Presbyterian Church Workmen's Department, which was a branch of the Board of Home Missions. And years later, that department became the Department of Church and Labor. And he founded as well the Labor Temple in New York City. And that particular congregation focused its attention on the needs and the wishes of working urban people. Growing out of the work of the Labor Temple, it was clear that a training center was needed to educate pastors on the culture of industrial society and how to minister to working class people. And that led to the creation of what was known as the Presbyterian Institute of Industrial Relations, which became an integral part of McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago. That program was directed by the Reverend Marshall Scott. While I was a student at Union Theological Seminary from 1958 to 62, I took the summer of 1959 to enroll in that institute's program, which had a very profound impact on my theology and on my own ministry. I worked that summer in an industry in Chicago working on a drill press 6 days a week. I worked there incognito. Nobody was supposed to know that I had a seminary education. They didn't even have to know that I went to college. In evenings, I gathered with other students in the program to meet with labor union heads, sometimes meeting with civic leaders, meeting with church leaders from the area to talk about the needs of the common labor and how the church did or did not speak to those needs. I still remember that one of the most significant events for me during that summer in Chicago was to have dinner with Victor Reuther, who together with his brother Walter Reuther were leaders of the United Auto Workers. And I still remember asking Victor Reuther what he thought was the biggest problem that labor unions would face in the next decade. And he really surprised me with his answer. His answer was leisure. He said that as the work week would be cut back, there could be more time for the worker to participate in cultural events and expand knowledge and interest, or simply to be a time to take to rest, to recoup, as it were. I think Victor Reuther felt there was a great deal of merit in the commandment, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh you shall not work. There has been much emphasis in religious writings of the past couple of decades on the significance of the Sabbath, a day of rest from one's labor, a time to really rest and refuel. Reuther would have found merit in that passage from the Gospel of John. Don't waste your energy striving for the perishable. Work for the food that nourishes your lasting life. Reuther was very much concerned that as the work week was cut back, so many workers simply took on another job. And he said that he felt the reason for that was that they had not developed other aspects of their life than work. They defined their whole life in terms of the work that they did. Well, more recently, our denomination has taken another step as it has attempted to express concern for the labor, particularly the exploitation of the worker. Just a few years ago, in the year 2002, it endorsed a consumer boycott of the Taco Bell restaurants and products, which had begun with workers in Florida seeking better wages and working conditions for Florida farm workers who picked tomatoes that then went into Taco Bell products. Those workers were earning between 40 and 45 cents for every 32-pound bucket that they picked and hauled away. Do your arithmetic. At that figure, a worker needed to pick 2 tons of tomatoes to earn $50. That was the same wage that they would have received way back in 1978. The workers at that time earned on the average $7,500 annually. Now, I think of particular interest for us here on Long Island is that the Presbyterian Church USA's national coordinator for the Taco Bell boycott was the Reverend Noel Domingo, the wife of the Reverend Jeff Geary, who for several years was the associate pastor of the Setauket Presbyterian Church. And at one time, Noel actually served as part of my staff in campus ministry. She's serving on the Stony Brook campus. That boycott was most successful, and the work conditions and compensation greatly improved for those laborers. Well, what are the issues? What are the concerns that I think we really need to address on this Labor Day 2014, particularly issues and concerns that need to be addressed by religious communities? The National Interfaith Committee for Worker Justice lists several of them, and I share them with you. Number one, to protect worker rights. Workers should have the right to organize and should have the right to engage in collective bargaining. Number two, the need to increase opportunities for labor leaders and people of faith to learn to work together. Number three, religiously affiliated and nonprofit institutions such as hospitals, nursing homes, should model the highest standard of employer-employee relations. This, to me, hits right at home for churches and religious institutions, which often exploit their employees with extremely low salaries. And finally, number four in their agenda, concern for the immigrant worker. Our gospel lesson and the commandment from the Ten Commandments sees work not as an end all, but rather as a means toward the God-given values of life. And that would be my message to you on Labor Day Sunday 2014. Let us bow together in prayer. On this Labor Day Sunday, O God, may we understand that when we establish just and living wages, when we create safe and healthy work conditions, when we provide harassment-free working places, we are setting free the oppressed. We are creating justice. We are doing your work. Amen.